This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabi al-kareem. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the final Prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all those who follow his way with righteousness until the end of time. So today, inshallah, we're just going to discuss a bit about what happened last week, Friday, in New Zealand, and discuss some lessons and reflections on that incident. I didn't do this last week. It was a bit too sudden. I only really read the news 2 hours before coming to speak and was a bit too shaken by it to really get into the topic. So I thought I'd give you the week to think about it and, you know, let the emotions calm down a bit before we discuss it. In the meanwhile, other things happened this week as well. So, you know, before we get into the discussion of what happened last week in New Zealand, at the moment, in nearby countries surrounding us, our neighboring countries, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Malawi, these countries are all affected by a cyclone, and it's doing a lot of damage. And so, you know, advise each and every one of you, make dua for the people living in those countries, ask Allah to ease things for them, and if you can assist them in any way, financially, whatever it is, please do so. These are our neighbors, this is the neighbors of South Africa, and Allah spared us from the cyclone. I mean, it's literally the countryside next to us. Allah could have made it hit us as well, but He spared us from it. The least we can do in return is to help those who are afflicted by it. So, may Allah make things easy for everybody across the Ummah. We're facing very difficult times as a Ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith, he told the Sahaba that a time will come when, you know, the enemies of Islam will attack the Muslims and just do whatever they want. You know, they'll get away with anything almost. And the Sahaba couldn't understand this. They asked whether in that point in time, whether the Muslims would be few in number. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prophesied, he said, no, the Muslims will be many, but they will be weak. They will be spiritually and militarily weak. You know, he described them with the metaphor of being like the dirt on the waves. You know, when you have a flood or a tsunami, all that dirt, there's so much of it, but there's no benefit to it. He described the Muslims of such a time as being like that. And he said that they will be afflicted by love of this world. And because of the love of this world, they would be helpless in stopping the enemies of Islam from harming them. So today we live in a time where Muslims are the second largest and the largest growing religion in the world. You know, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the statement, there were less than 100,000 Muslims in the world, maybe less than 10,000 Muslims in the world. Today there's more than 1 billion Muslims in the world. The second largest in the world. And we're not just the second largest, but we are the fastest growing. Right? Outside of atheism, may Allah protect our youth from that, Islam is the fastest growing actual religion in the world. And despite this, wherever we look in the world, Muslims are facing problems and don't have the military capabilities to stop their problems from happening. In fact, many a times the Muslims are themselves the cause of their problems. We see this in some parts of the world where Muslims are fighting each other or Muslim governments are oppressing their own people. And because of this, Muslims had to move away from their countries to non-Muslim countries to find safety and freedom. So, you know, the irony of our times is Muslims are running away from the Muslim countries to countries like South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, the United States, United Kingdom. They're running towards these countries for freedom and safety from Muslim rulers. And alhamdulillah, some Muslims found this freedom and safety in New Zealand. They had moved there, they settled there, very peaceful place, nothing bad happened there for over 20 years. But Allah's Qadr, last week, an extremely terrible tragedy took place there. And I think everybody by now is familiar with what actually happened, right? A white supremacist, a man who basically has Islamophobia ingrained in his heart, and who sees Muslims as a threat to his culture and his way of life, entered the masjid at Jummah time and literally murdered over 50 Muslims, including children. And he felt good about it. He felt he was doing his people a service. So the question I wanted to address today, and some of the lessons I want to take for today, is, you know, what causes people to do these things? And what can we learn from this? And how can we move forward without this affecting our iman in a negative way? Well, I want to begin by reminding each and every one of us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already promised us that this was going to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us in the Quran that He will test us. He says in Surah An-Kabut, do any of you think that you can just say, I believe, and you won't be tested? You will definitely be tested like those who were tested before you. And in the Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a double definite when He says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Right? The lam at the beginning of the word and the noon at the end of the word both mean definitely. So you can translate it as, you will definitely, definitely be tested. Right? With what? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. You will definitely, definitely be tested with fear, with hunger, with loss of wealth, with loss of lives, with loss of your efforts. Allah has promised us already this in the Quran. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Sahaba and their attitude towards such difficulties. That when the enemy surrounded Medina at the time of the Battle of the Trench, what was the Sahaba's response? Allah mentions their response in Surah Al-Ahzab. He says, their response was, this is what Allah has promised us. And Allah's promise is true. So my first reminder to each and every one of us is that Allah has promised to test us. And different Muslims in different parts of the world are tested in different ways. So sometimes we are tested with poverty. Sometimes we are tested with wealth. Sometimes we are tested with everything going our way to such an extent that we forget about Islam and get caught up in this dunya. And sometimes we are tested with tragedies and hardships and civil wars. Every part of the world, the Muslims are tested in different ways. And sometimes a test is global. What happened last week in New Zealand, it affects the iman of people across the globe. And it has repercussions across the globe. You know, media in the USA, which was speaking against Islam, influenced a man in New Zealand to carry out an atrocity. Showing us that things are no more localized. Tests aren't even localized, they're now global. And alhamdulillah, Allah has saved us from being part of a society where Islamophobia is normal. Now, many of my friends, when they visit South Africa from countries like the United States of America and the United Kingdom, they always tell me the one thing you'll have to be grateful for here. You are the only minority. They said, you are the only minority we know of who don't deal with Islamophobia. You know, for Muslims in America and the United Kingdom, Islamophobia is a norm. It's a daily thing. It's something that's part of daily life. Somebody is shouting racist comments at them, somebody commenting on their wife's hijab, somebody telling them to go back to where they came from. This is a norm. We in South Africa, Allah has saved us from this. But because of globalization, we are not 100% safe from it. Because when your kids go online, when they go on Facebook, when they go on Twitter, when they go on these forums like Reddit, they deal with Islamophobes from across the world. And many of us are not prepared spiritually or emotionally to deal with this. Because we live in a community where we don't have to deal with this on a daily basis, we're not prepared for it. So sometimes our children grow up in this bubble. They grow up here in South Africa, never having anybody pick on them for wearing hijab or growing a beard or praying five times a day or dressing in a Muslim way. But when they go online, they are bullied by these people and it affects their iman. And so my advice to parents is that prepare your children not just for the local culture but for the global culture. Even though we live in a community where we don't have Islamophobia, you have to prepare your children to deal with it because they will face it online. They will face people from other parts of the world online who will bully them. Cyberbullying, it's a norm nowadays, cyberbullying, because they are Muslims. And if they are not prepared psychologically, emotionally and spiritually to deal with this, it can affect their iman. So, this concept of Islamophobia, this is the second point I want to talk about. You know, where did it come from and why does it exist? Well, I want to say two things here. Number one, the word Islamophobia is new, but the concept itself has always been around and will always be around. Why do I say this? Because from the beginning of time, ever since Allah started sending prophets to this planet, to the people of earth, Allah has, every time He sent a prophet, there were people who spread propaganda against the prophet and his message. They did this to Musa alayhi salam. They did this to Isa alayhi salam. They did this to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa salam. And it has always been like this. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa salam, when he was doing his da'wah, what did the people of Makkah do? They spread the news that he was a madman. They spread the news that he was doing magic. They spread all of these rumors. You know, that he's turning people against their families, trying to portray Islam in the worst possible light. But it failed. In the time of the Crusades, what happened in the time of the Crusades? The Christians started translating parts of the Quran into their language, Latin at that time, but mistranslating it to make Islam seem like this violent, militaristic, evil religion that wants to take over their countries. And they used this to rile the people up against the Muslims, so that people joined the Crusades and went into the Muslim lands and butchered the Muslims and took over the lands. But they failed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then rose from amongst the Muslims the likes of Salahuddin Ayyubi, who defeated them and took the lands back. And so we see through every era, there are always people spreading propaganda against Islam. And this will always be there. So I believe the idea that we must get rid of Islamophobia altogether, I believe this is never going to happen. Because Shaitan will always have his group of human shayateen doing his work for him. He will always try to make Islam look bad. Nonetheless, there are things we can do to counter this. What did the Muslims of the past do to counter the efforts of people to make Islam look bad? What did they do? Two things. Number one, they did the da'wah, they spread the message of Islam. Number two, they represented Islam in their actions and in their lifestyles in such a way that people flock towards Islam. I want you to think about this. If you are a role model Muslim, and you interact with your neighbors and your employees and your customers and any other non-Muslims that you know in the way that Islam has taught us to, in this role model way, do you think that they will listen to the Islamophobic news and what they are saying about Muslims? They won't. Because they see in their own daily interactions how beautiful Muslims are. They see in their daily interactions what lovely people Muslims are. And so they will automatically realize that what the news is saying about Muslims can't be true. And so, my advice to every single one of us, the only way for us to counter this propaganda, we can't stop the news, we can't stop CNN from saying what they want to say, we can't stop Donald Trump from tweeting what he wants to tweet, right? But we can represent Islam in how we live our lives. That when people interact with us, they fall in love with Islam. Not with us, but with Islam. And we see this throughout history. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people of Makkah were constantly portraying him as a bad person. What did he do? After the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the majority of leaders of Makkah ended up converting to Islam. Why? Because now there was peace between Makkah and Medina, and they could actually interact with the Muslims as human beings and see that these aren't bad people. And so during this time, for example, Khalid ibn Walid, who at that time was the leader of the armies of Makkah, who had defeated the Muslims in the Battle of Uhud, who had killed many Muslims, including Sahaba. Many of the leading Sahaba were killed. They always Sahaba at the time. Many of the leading Sahaba were killed in the Battle of Uhud to Khalid ibn Walid's armies. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam writes Khalid a letter. Or rather, he had Khalid's brother write him a letter in which he tells him that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking, where is Khalid? An intelligent man like him should know that Islam is true. Praising the intelligence of his enemy. Praising the intelligence of a man who had killed many Muslims. Khalid ibn Walid ends up converting to Islam and becoming the sword of Allah. Fast forward to the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi. The Crusaders spreading all kinds of evil messages about Islam. Taking over the Muslim lands, butchering the Muslims, taking over Jerusalem, butchering the people of Jerusalem, Muslim and Christian and Jewish alike. Salahuddin Ayyubi comes in. He takes over Jerusalem and he lets everybody free. And he lets everybody practice their religions in peace. Christian, Jew, Muslim, everybody has full freedom. And when he is asked why, he simply tells the people that this is what Islam teaches. He shows it to them in his actions. This is what Islam teaches. That we treat everybody with respect. And we value the rights of every human being. And we don't seek revenge. We don't seek revenge. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he conquered Makkah, he did not take revenge. Salahuddin Ayyubi, when he conquered Jerusalem, he did not take revenge. And we see this also today, the people of New Zealand. What was their reaction? What was their reaction to this event? Their reaction was one of dawah, one of peace, one of forgiveness, one of showing people the beauty of Islam. Yesterday, the Adhan was broadcast on national television in New Zealand, causing the message of Islam to reach more people in New Zealand than it had ever reached before this atrocity. Meaning, when bad things happen to Muslims, we don't run away from our religion, we don't run away from the masjid, we don't abandon Jum'ah, we don't turn our backs on Islam, and we definitely don't turn to violence. Rather, we double down on being beautiful people. We double down on representing Islam to the best of our abilities. We double down on spreading the message of Islam and showing people what a beautiful, beautiful way of Allah, of life Allah has given us. And so that anytime something bad happens to the Muslims, we turn it around into a dawah opportunity. We make it a means through which many other people can see the beauty of Islam and choose to convert to Islam if Allah wills it. One more lesson that I want to mention today from the what happened in New Zealand is that our life goes through waves, right? We're going to go through ups and downs. There are going to be good days and bad days. And both of these are a type of test from Allah. So Allah is testing us. If you have money, if you have peace, if you have everything you want in this dunya, Allah is testing you. What is your test? Your test is, are you going to be grateful to Allah? Are you going to use this money in a way that is pleasing to Allah? Are you going to worship Allah during times of ease? This is a test which many people fail. Other points in our life, we face the opposite kind of test. We are tested with debt. We are tested with fear. We are tested with a loss of sources of income. Your test during these times, are you going to be patient? Are you going to say only that which is pleasing to Allah? Are you going to look for a halal solution or are you going to take a haram shortcut solution? These are the tests we face. Understand that we are all always in a state of being tested. Do not think that Allah is not testing us and is only testing people in the other end of the world. No, you are being tested right now. If there is something in your life that is difficult, it is a test from Allah. If there is something in your life that is beautiful, it's a test from Allah. How do we deal with these tests? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained it to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the life of the believer is amazing. Because everything that happens to the believer is good for him. When something good happens, they are grateful to Allah, and this is good for him. And when something bad happens, they are patient, and this is also good for him. Think about this. Islam teaches us to be continuously optimistic. Continuously optimistic. Things are going well, we say Alhamdulillah, we get the reward for being grateful. Things are going badly, we have sabr, we get the reward of being patient. Somebody dies, and then they get the reward of martyrdom, if it was in the case like what we have seen in these past few days. It becomes martyrdom, it's still good for them. This is our mindset, always optimism. You know, in some cultures, if a tragedy like this happens to their people, they lose faith in God. In some religions and cultures, if they were in the house of worship and somebody had to walk in and kill them, then the average person would say, you know, if God is real, why didn't He protect us in our house of worship? This is what they would think. But not us, not Muslims. Because we already know that our time of death is written for us. We already know that if somebody died in the masjid at the time of Jummah worshipping Allah, that's the best type of martyrdom you could ever ask for. So instead of questioning our faith gets stronger. This is the optimism of Islam. That no matter what bad things happen to this ummah, it just increases our iman. It increases our belief in Allah. It increases our trust in Allah. It increases our desire to please Allah. This is the beauty of Islam. So today, just three main reflections on what happened last week. And I will now repeat them and just go into a bit more details about them. The first one is to understand that there will always be people who hate Muslims and hate Islam. You cannot stop this from happening. Just like the Prophet ﷺ could not stop Abu Jahl from existing at his time, Just as Salahuddin Ayyubi could not stop the Crusaders from existing at his time, we cannot stop Islamophobes from existing in our time. There will always be someone somewhere who regards Islam as something demonic and something satanic and something evil because of all kinds of warped ideas that somebody else told him. We can't stop this from happening, but we can counter it. We can counter it. How? Through da'wah. Through representing Islam. And I know many people, they ask me, but how do I do da'wah? You know, I don't have the ability. Not everybody is a public speaker. Not everybody is good at writing. Not everybody has the ability to do da'wah on a platform. So, how do you do da'wah? For the average person. Number one, you do da'wah through being a good Muslim. As simple as that. You do da'wah through being a good Muslim. Look at the example of countries like Malaysia and Indonesia. How did Islam spread to these countries? Anyone know the story? How did Islam spread to Indonesia and Malaysia? Yes? Yes, the businessmen. Arab Muslim businessmen, they moved to the countries of Malaysia and Indonesia, and just through their akhlaq, their character, just through the personalities they had gained from practicing Islam, the people of these areas were attracted to Islam. Today, which part of the world has the largest population of Muslims? That part. Yes, Indonesia. Not a single Muslim army ever went to conquer Indonesia. This entire part of the world, which has the largest population of Muslims in the world today, Islam reached them through the character of the businessmen. Now, majority of us here are businessmen, or at least working in businesses, right? In South Africa, alhamdulillah, the Muslims thrive at business. How many of us are representing Islam in our businesses in this way? Why is Islam not spreading in South Africa the way it's spread in Indonesia? Because wherever we go, we see Muslim business owners, don't we? Wherever we go, we see businesses owned by Muslims. Why are our businesses not attracting people towards Islam? Instead, I hear people saying things like, don't work for a Muslim businessman. You know, they're going to cheat you. They're going to mistreat you. They're going to underpay you. Why do I hear people saying things like this? It's because we're not representing Islam in our businesses. Now, many of us, when you come to the masjid, then we have, you know, one face, the beard, the kurta, you know, we got the hat on our head, looking very pious. And go back to our businesses, and what do we see? Racism, mistreatment, underpaying staff, you know, swearing, vulgar language, sometimes even physical abuse, even hitting the staff. You know, we've seen these things happen in our community. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, how halal is your money if this is how you're conducting business? And if your money is not halal, it doesn't matter which company gave the halal certificate to the butchery, you buying that meat with haram money, it's not halal for you either. Understand that business needs to be conducted in a halal way. We've gone very, very far away from the Islamic ideals of business. The Islamic ideals of business are so high that businessmen caused entire countries to convert to Islam. Today we, in our country, our businesses are chasing people away from Islam because of the way some of us conduct our businesses. So if any of us have been guilty of this, of mistreating our staff or treating our customers rudely or cheating people or underpaying people, make tawbah, repent, and turn around your business practices. Understand, you represent Islam not only when it's time to come to the masjid for Jum'ah, you represent Islam 24/7. In everything you do, you represent Islam. So make sure that the way you conduct yourself at work or at business is a representation of the true message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if it isn't, make tawbah and make changes today. So we do our da'wah primarily through being good Muslims. Because Islam is beautiful. Islam is not just the truth. It's beautiful. Islam is so beautiful that anybody who interacts with a truly practicing Muslim can only help but fall in love with Islam. That's all that's going to happen. They're going to fall in love with Islam. Even if they don't convert to Islam, your guidance is in Allah's hands. Even if they don't convert to Islam, they learn to love Islam, they learn to love Muslims, they learn to respect Muslims. So if that's not happening, it's because of us. It's because we are so caught up in materialism and money and, you know, worshipping money and wanting to be richer than the next person and having a better car than the next person. We're so caught up in all of this that we've forgotten why we exist. So let's change this. Let us make sure that the way we conduct ourselves in society is da'wah in of itself. The second way you can do da'wah, it's very simple. Really simple. Anytime you find something beneficial online, something that represents Islam beautifully, whether it's a YouTube video, whether it's an article, whatever it is, forward it. Forward it to your non-Muslim friends and colleagues, right? Forward it to your family members. Forward, but of course, don't forward things which are dodgy and things which are weird. Please don't forward them some weird jihad training videos or things like that, right? Use common sense. Send them the beautiful video, someone talking about stories of Islam, or somebody's giving an interview about why they converted to Islam. Forward these things. You don't have to do the talking yourself. Let YouTube do the talking for you, right? Let WhatsApp do the talking for you. Simple things like this. You don't know which message can affect which person's heart. So to summarize, there's three main lessons we can take from what happened last week. Number one, Allah will always test us, and there will always be enemies of Islam. Our duty is that we continue to practice Islam, to represent Islam, to be the best that we can be, and understand that if something happens to us, then inshallah, you know, if somebody gets killed for being Muslim, there's no better way to die. Really, there is no better way to go. If somebody kills you just because you're a Muslim, forgiveness for all your sins, shahada. Which of us doesn't need that? So understand that we will be the best we can be, and we will not be intimidated by these people. Number two, life goes through stages. During the good times, make shukr, be grateful to Allah. During the bad times, have sabr, be patient, Allah will reward you. Either way, it will be good for you. And finally, the only way for us to combat what's going on in the world is to be the best representation of Islam that we can be. That we must be so beautiful in our character, in our personality, in the way that we deal with people, that people fall in love with Islam. This is the best thing that we can do. And to make sure that whatever ways we can, we contribute to the da'wah. And that our lives are a means of bringing people towards Islam, not a means of chasing people away from Islam. So we end by asking Allah to accept the martyrdom of all those who passed away in the New Zealand attack last week. And for all those who were affected by the cyclones as well, if anyone had passed away there, Allah accepted from them as martyrdom. We know that flooding is also a form of martyrdom according to the hadith. If somebody dies in a flood, it's also a type of martyrdom. And for those who are afflicted by the cyclones in southern Africa, neighboring countries, may Allah make things easy for them and grant them relief quickly. For those who are afflicted in New Zealand, whose family members have passed away, may Allah grant them patience and sabr and reward them for it. And may Allah, you know, help this ummah return to a state of power where we are not so helpless, and where we are able to defend ourselves and to protect ourselves and to be able to stop events of this from happening in the future. Wa aqidawana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.